This episode is brought to you by Dr. Squatch. When your personal care routine needs a refresh, Dr. Squatch is here to help. They have high-performing natural products with no harmful ingredients that'll have you looking and smelling your best. Like the Bay Rum Soap and Deodorant. It smells delightfully spicy. And right now, they have an amazing offer for new customers. Get 20% off your first purchase of any amount or a subscription order by going to drsquatch.com/Spotify or use the code Spotify at checkout.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You're listening to episode 159 of the Marathon Running Podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about five things you can do to improve your running form. This is the Marathon Running Podcast by Letty and Ryan from We Got the Runs. Join us in our running community for weekly content that is motivational, educational, and inspirational, and let the Marathon Running Podcast take you from the starting line to the finish line and beyond. Hey runners, and welcome to episode 159. My name is Letty.
My name is Ryan.
And if you are following our journey, we are currently in Sweden and just got done running the Stockholm Marathon. We are pre-recording this, so in reality, we don't know if at this point we are race finishers or not. But that is for you to find out. And the best way to find out is if you follow us on Instagram, we are at Running Podcast. And that's the end of my spiel.
So what are we talking about today, Letty?
So in this episode, we're talking to Coach Chris Knighton from Knighton Runs. He has his own run coaching company. And we're covering the basics of running form, including the terminology such as foot strike and cadence. And then Chris also explains the importance of having good running form.
I always like to delve into the details of athletics and sports in general. Like, I always try to critique myself and make it better. So this stuff's really interesting to me.
It is to me too. And Chris actually reminds me a little bit of you, maybe because he also has an engineering background and he really pays attention to biomechanics and stuff that logically can make sense to help you become a faster runner. And I know that you pay attention to that type of stuff too when you get into a new sport or whatever it is, because you want to get better at it.
I do like delving into the technical details of sports. I think it's really fun to me.
Yeah. So who better to ask than Chris about five tips for improving your running form? So I don't want to spoil them, and I will sum them up after the conversation. So are you ready to hear from Chris?
Let's get into it.
All right. So without any further ado, we're now going to play our conversation with Chris Knighton. All right. So I'm back on here with Chris Knighton. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Letty. Thanks for having me back. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. And this is the third time that we have you on our podcast. So I'm just going to link the previous episodes for anyone that wants to know a little bit more about you. But today we're going to hop into running form. And I guess we could start maybe by definition. What does that mean, your running form?
Yeah, so running form is, I think it's a topic that people talk a lot about, but they don't really know how to talk about with any kind of certainty. Like, there's a lot of question of, you know, what's good running form, or does it even really matter? So to define it, I guess I would just say it's how you look when you run and how biomechanically efficient that is when it comes to propelling your body as efficiently as possible, right? I guess that's the simplest way to describe it.
Okay, perfect. And this is four in your book. So for those listeners who haven't gotten your book yet, we're going to put that into show notes as well. So in your book, you mentioned that for distance runners, running form comes more naturally. Can you explain why that is?
Yeah. So distance running, first, I want to come into this discussion with saying that distance running is not a sport where form is critical. And we're going to talk about how you can naturally improve your running form over time and run with a more efficient gait. But distance running is not a sport like, let's say, sprinting, where your form is absolutely essential. So something like the 100 meter dash, that's an event where, you know, it takes 10 seconds to 14 seconds, maybe, depending on your ability. Your form is absolutely essential. You need to be propelling yourself in the most biomechanically efficient way to move, to create speed, to throw yourself down the track as fast as possible. With distance running, your form isn't very important. We're going to get into that, but it's often overshadowed by your internal engine, your aerobic engine. You see with distance runners, very good distance runners, that they have drastically different running forms. You just look at, you pick any five professional runners who you like and you look at how they run. They're going to look very differently with how they run, but they're all able to run comparable times when it comes to races. And they're all running in with a running style, a running form that's most efficient for them.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, I mean, what you said kind of resonates with me because I feel like you can have two people that are the same weight, same height, same length of limbs. And when you see them running, they do run very differently from one another. So where do you think does that come from? How do we as individuals end up running the way that we run?
Yeah, I think it's from a lifetime of just how you learned movement. I mean, very few people, really nobody is ever taught how to run at a young age. Running is just a skill that you kind of just pick up naturally through doing different activities. Maybe as a little kid, you played soccer or basketball, or you played tag or ran around just out in a park or in gym class or something like that. But very few people, unless you were, you know, growing up in maybe like a track family and you were raised to be a sprinter or a distance runner or something, very few people probably ever taught you how to move your body with you know, kind of ideal, good, efficient movement patterns. So we pick up all these different habits just from the different things that we do. People learn it different ways. And then, you know, everyone's body's different. Everyone has different amounts of flexibility, different history of maybe being injured, and that might affect their form in some way. You know, I broke my arm when I was in high school, and my right arm moves a little bit different, like very slightly differently than my left arm now, right? And people have different mobility with how flexible they are. I can touch my toes, but you as the listener, can you touch your toes? Like that might affect our running forms, right?
Very interesting, yeah. So when we kind of hop into this topic a little bit deeper, we're going to be able to talk about foot strike and then cadence. So maybe we should start with foot strike. What is foot strike and what types of foot strikes are there? What should we thrive for? All that.
Yeah. So a lot of what I'm going to talk about today is what I would consider ideal running form. So this is something you should be striving for. Doesn't necessarily mean if you do it differently, you're doing it wrong, but it's something you should be working towards and encouraging through the type of training that you do. And you can do certain things to promote a better foot strike. So at a high level, you can think about foot strike is how your foot contacts the ground with each step. Now, when we think about the three different foot strikes, you're going to move from kind of a heel strike as you're running slower to more of a mid foot strike as you kind of approach more moderate to moderately fast paces, and then more of a toe strike when you get to more sprinting. If you look at like sprint events on the track, you know, 100 meters through 400 meters, they're basically running on their toes the entire time. When we look at marathon running, it's much, or let's say like slow, easy pace running, in training, it's much more of a heel strike dominated way of landing. However, you want to try when you're running slower paces, like easy run paces or marathon paces, you want to try to encourage your body to run with a bit more of a mid-strike foot strike, because it will be a bit more efficient once you get good at it. Landing on your heel, the way that your foot hits the ground with kind of your foot extended out does slow you down slightly. It puts a little bit of a braking pattern into how you land. So if you can land a bit more with your foot underneath you and more on the center of your foot, you can kind of just roll through each step a little bit better with more forward energy transfer and not as much of that braking effect that you get from heel striking. So that's kind of the general idea.
Okay, perfect. And I've read, and I'm not sure if I'm quoting this right, that people that do a heel strike are more prone to certain injuries such as shin splints, etc. And same with the overstride. So can you maybe talk about which stride is a big no-no, just because not just are we trying to change ourselves, but also because of injuries?
Yeah, so this fits into it too. A reason why you want to be looking to improve your running form is because the better your running form is, the lower your likelihood of getting injured. Not only is running more efficiently going to allow you to run faster for longer with less energy expenditure, it's going to reduce the impact that your body is taking with each step, because you're going to be running in a very smooth way, right? So the heel striking is something you want to be trying to avoid. That's overextending your feet. Often this comes when people are taking like long bounding strides as opposed to quick, light steps. As kind of a cue to yourself to run more on your midfoot and less on your heel when you're running at slower paces, that's exactly what you want to think. You just want to think quick, light steps, not long bounding strides. And if you do that and just think quick feet, quick feet, quick feet, you're going to take shorter, lighter steps. You're going to be more landing under your body, and you're going to be more on that midfoot.
Okay, perfect. So I guess that kind of catapults us right into cadence, because cadence is I'll let you do the definition.
Yeah, cadence is just how many times per second your feet contact the ground. So most watches these days, GPS watches, will actually measure this, and 180 steps per minute is often kind of touted as the ideal, what you want to target. But really there's no ideal, because your cadence is going to vary proportional to how fast you're running. If you're running slower, you're going to have slower cadence. If you're running faster, you're going to have faster cadence. You can actually see this if you just go out and do a progression run where you start slow for a couple miles, get to a moderate pace for a couple miles, and you finish fast for the final few miles. Your cadence will increase the entire time. So there's not necessarily any magic cadence you're trying to hit, but the general mindset you should have when it comes to how quickly you step is going back to what I said, kind of this mantra of taking quick, light steps. And if you check in with yourself periodically, maybe each mile or every time you catch yourself daydreaming out on a run, focus back on your running form, think quick, light steps, and you're going to kind of get back into that quicker cadence if you've fallen off and gotten into more of like a long, sloggy type of step.
Okay, so then that's one extreme. That's having a too slow of a cadence. I'm not saying too slow, but you know what I mean? Like you're kind of running slouchy. But what mm-hmm. about having a cadence that's too high? And this is a personal question that I'm going to ask you. Even on my slow runs, my cadence is 190. During marathons, it's almost 220. And I can see in videos when I'm running that it looks kind of funny because my steps are really tiny and I'm not short. I'm 5'4". And I guess, is there anything I can do to open the gauge a little bit more? Would that make me more efficient?
Yes. So I love that you asked this question, Letty. I think you're in a rarity of people. I think most people struggle with too slow of a cadence. But I've seen this before where some people, they take two teeny tiny little steps. It's like little like bunny steps, I don't know, as you run, right? When you see videos of yourself running, how much of a heel lift do you get off the ground? Do your feet come high off the ground, or are they just like teeny tiny little steps where your heel barely comes up?
Teeny tiny. I'm always mesmerized when I see videos of people running where their heel almost touches their butt. Like mine doesn't, it doesn't even get, I mean, maybe a couple inches off the floor.
And what's your arm swing look like? Do you have much of a dramatic arm swing, or is it that kind of tight to your body as well?
It's kind of tight, and I feel like I'm holding my shoulders up a bit more than I probably should.
Yeah. So I think for you, Letty, you want to think about opening up your stride a bit more. So often I like to think of going to the arms, because what you do with your arms, your legs are going to match. So if you want to take big bounding strides, you need to pump your arms big. There's a saying in sprinting, and a lot of distance running form technique comes from the sprint world. There's a saying in sprinting where your arms, as you pump them, it should be your thumb should come up to your eye in the front, and your elbow should go up to the sky in the back. So when you pump your arms in sprinting, thumb to the eye, elbow to the sky. So big arms, like 90 degree angles off of your shoulders. And the movement's coming from your shoulders. This is another thing. Distance runners often kind of have lazy arm carriage, which is often fine for distance running. But like, you're not really moving your arms that much. And you may not even know where you're moving your arms from. Are you just kind of like punching from your elbows? Is like... But the movement comes from your shoulders. And I think for you, maybe that's what you need to, that should be your cue, rather than when you catch yourself daydreaming or catch yourself slipping in your form, rather than saying, hey, I need to take quick light steps. It's more like, I need to open up my stride. And how are you going to do that? It's by pumping your arms more. If you're pumping your arms up high, your legs are going to open up the same, and you're going to get that higher back kick, and you're going to get a higher knee lift, and you're going to take bigger steps between each foot strike. In the chapter in my book, I talk about how to improve your running form naturally. And that's actually what I'd kind of like to lead into. Rather than like forcing changes, there's actually a whole bunch of different things that you should instead kind of incorporate into your overall training program that are going to help you find the best running form for you as an individual.
Okay, yeah, perfect. So let's go into that.
So everyone is going to benefit from working on improving their running form, but running form is not something that you either good at or you're bad at. It's more of a, just like how we're always trying to get better at running, be a little faster, maybe go a little farther, if that's our thing. Running form is something you're constantly trying to get a little bit better at as well. So there's a whole bunch of things that you can do and you should incorporate into your training if you want to improve your running form. So I'm going to talk about five different things, and I'll just touch on them at a high level. And then if you want, Letty, we can go into kind of the different things in more detail. But here are five things that, as a listener, ask yourself, am I doing these things regularly? So the first one is, am I running as many days per week as I can? The second thing is, do I perform warm-up drills as part of a warm-up before a workout or a race? Drills that promote good movement patterns. The third thing is, do I regularly perform intentional planned speed workouts, speed work? And do I do strides as part of my training? The fourth thing is, do I run on hills? Do I seek out hills do I run uphill or do I mostly just stay on flat terrain? And then the fifth thing that I want to touch on is, do I incorporate core and upper body strength into my overall running program? Those five things, if you start to incorporate them into your running, are over time going to continually allow you to improve your running form, let you run more efficiently, which will in turn make you faster. You'll enjoy it more and it'll reduce your likelihood of getting injured from running.
Perfect. All right. So now we have our list of five things. And of course, as you know, I always have questions to each one of them. The first one, running more frequently. How does that make your runs better? How does that improve your running form?
Yeah, this is all about muscle memory. And this is a huge reason we talked in a previous podcast about why mileage matters, why it's so important. There's many, many reasons, but the more miles you run, the better your running form is going to get over time. There's a term called running economy. You might hear tossed around. That's very similar to how efficiently do you run. It's, you know, you take two people. One person's a very experienced runner. Let's say they run a large amount of miles per week, whatever that means to you. And then you take somebody else who maybe only runs 2 or 3 days per week and they do shorter runs. They don't run nearly as much. The person who runs more is going to be much more efficient at covering 2 miles, 3 miles, or 10 miles than the person who runs a lot less. Their form is going to improve just naturally over time from running more.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Especially with the muscle memory. And the other one that you mentioned, number two, is doing warm-up drills. How do warm-up drills help you with your running form?
Yeah. So this is a huge area of opportunity for most adult runners. So as a preface, every good high school or college cross-country or track and field running team does a very in-depth, comprehensive warm-up almost daily, or maybe even every single day. There's a whole bunch of different exercises and drills that you can do before you run that are going to encourage you to run with more efficient running form. It's really, really important. And by developing a good warm-up that you do before workouts and races, not only are you going to work out faster, you're going to race faster, you're going to reduce your chance of injury in those events, you're going to be more mentally confident. And many of the exercises that you include in this really just isolate different movement patterns and encourage you to do things like run with, you know, big steps sweaty, if that's something you need to work with, or pump your arms more, or lift your knees or lift your heel, that kind of thing. So this is a huge area of opportunity. When I go to races, the only people I see doing a dynamic warm-up are the people who like are going to win the race. I see like 10 people doing it, and those are the 10 people who are the top 10. Everyone else can take from their example and start to incorporate these type of activities into their training and pre-race routine, and they'll benefit from doing it.
That's awesome. So the next one, number three, was including speed work and strides. How do strides and speed work help you? I'm assuming it's kind of in a similar way as the warmups.
Yeah. So when I was talking about the different foot strikes before, in general, when you run slower, and there's a place for running slow, right? Just as this is a place for running fast. But when you run slower, you run with more of a heel strike. It's generally less efficient. When you run faster and you run with a better foot strike, more of a mid to forefoot strike. And when you sprint, you run with your best running form. It's impossible to run fast and have good running form. So the more that you run fast, the more you're going to be teaching yourself that muscle memory of how to run fast, how to run efficiently. Kind of going back to that first one, run more frequently. Running more frequently, you're going to get more efficient. if you run 6 days per week, you're going to be more efficient than someone who runs 3 days per week. But you don't just want to run easy or slow all the time, because then you're only going to get efficient at running slow. You also need to do regular speed work, maybe one or two times per week, which is a longer session. That's going to get you more comfortable running fast. And it's kind of a trickle down effect that's going to improve your running form at the slower paces as well. And then strides are something that, you know, you should really be incorporating two or three times per week, potentially even more. Strides are just very short, maybe 4 by 20 seconds of fast running at the end of your run. And that's going to give you like a short little, you know, daily burst of speed. It's going to remind your body how to run fast. And you're going to continually be working on your running form when you do these things.
Is there a reason that you say the strides are to be at the end of your run?
They could be at different stages of the run. Sometimes I like to do them in the middle. Sometimes I like to do them at the end. There's arguments for either, but one of the things that I like about doing them at the end of the run is it lets you know that even when you finish a run, if you're kind of tired, you can still run fast and still run with good form.
Awesome. I love that. All right. So number four is including runs, especially uphill runs. How does that help us with our stride?
Yeah. So running hills is one of the best things that we can do to become a better runner. And when I say running hills, I mean, incorporate hills into your long runs, incorporate them into your easy runs, just run over hilly terrain, but also doing hill workouts. Maybe if you do speed workouts, maybe you like to go to the track or you like to run fast on a bike path or something like that. You can translate a lot of those workouts to a hill, you know, rather than doing something like, say, 8x400 meters on a track, you could do 8x2 minutes uphill with a walk back down. When you run uphill, kind of like how I said, when you run fast, you have to run with good form. When you run uphill, you also have to run with good form. Running uphill forces you to land more on your midfoot and more on your toe, just as kind of the way you're leaning into the hill, and that's the first part of your foot to hit the ground. It's going to teach you what it feels like to hit the ground with your midfoot and toe. And you build so much strength by running uphill. Running uphill incorporates so many different muscles in a different way than running flat does. So does running downhill. It's going to train you in different ways. And, you know, even if you're training for a flat race, maybe something like the Berlin Marathon this fall or the London Marathon next year, those are flat races, but you still want to train on hills because you want to be a well-rounded athlete. Eventually, your flat running muscles are going to fatigue in a flat marathon. And then if you can draw on some of those muscles you've developed from hill training, you're going to have more in reserve and you're going to be able to run with better form more continuously later in even a flat marathon.
That makes so much sense. Thank you, Chris. And number five is to incorporate core and upper body strength workouts. How does that help your running form?
Yep. So one of the biggest reasons why people slow down in a distance race is because of just fatigue. You see this a lot of times in marathons. You know, people hit the wall around mile 16 to mile 20, and the last 6 to 10 miles of the race are, I mean, best case scenario, you kind of jog it in. Worst case scenario, you have to walk, and it's terrible. I've been there. It's happened to me. The stronger you can get, the more resilient to fatigue that you can get by doing core work and upper body strength, the less likely you are to hit a wall in the marathon. Upper body strength and core strength is important for runners because that's how we keep our body nice and erect with good running posture. You know, obviously it's our legs that propel us, but it's our core and our upper body that keeps us up standing tall. It you know, look forward, breathing, pumping our arms. And when we pump our arms, our legs follow. The stronger your core and upper body are, the less your running form is going to degrade over the course of a distance race.
Perfect. Chris, thank you so much. And if our listeners want to get in touch with you and maybe want to coach with you or get some more information, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. I'm at Knight and Runs, or on my website, knightandruns.com. You can go there to learn about my coaching, my podcast, and get a copy of my book, Run Faster Marathons, as well.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much, Chris, for speaking with me. And if you want to know more from Chris, you know how to reach him. Any comments from you, Ryan?
I think it makes sense. I think typically when you become fatigued, you lose your form. So if you want to continue to do the same mileage, when you run more frequently with less fatigue, you're likely to have better form. I think warm-up drills are also good. Just doing drills or varying is kind of like almost cross-training, but that should help too. Speed work and strides, it's definitely like when you just run and you don't do any of the other stuff, you're kind of just getting complacent and likely to just return to old habits. But if you continue to push outside of those normal parameters by running faster or doing different strides, I'm sure it helps. And then same can be said for hills. You know, you're kind of going up and down is different than just running flat. So it helps you to, I think, focus on what your body's doing. I think the core is great. And I think the more research is done, it seems in other sports too, the core seems to be such a key fundamental to all sorts of athletics. I think the more I research even too, it's like everyone thinks that, you know, throwing comes from the arm or running only comes from the legs. But in reality, a lot of that stuff starts at the core. And that's how the elite athletes do it is, you know, you start at the core and then kind of have a kinetic chain that moves along down to the outer limbs. And that's what I think makes people more efficient and better. So that's interesting.
Yes, I agree. And thank you so much for summarizing this for our listeners. Again, you have the nutshell version from Ryan here.
That was my synopsis or opinion about his five natural ways of improving running form, but they seem to make sense to me.
Yes, absolutely. And as always, great advice. So again, thank you, Chris. And stay tuned for next week. Next week, we are going to have an episode on running safety. I've always told myself every year you do a podcast, do a new episode on running safety because it's so important, especially during the summer months. We live in Florida and it gets hot. So the only time to run is really in the morning. So I feel like that should be a given. Even if you think you know everything about running safety, just tune back in. Maybe there's one little piece of advice that could change your life.
I agree. Running safety is very important. I think everyone should be aware of it. It's one of those things that doesn't happen very often, fortunately, but you want to be prepared if something does happen.
Exactly. So with that, tune in next week. And until then,
have a good week of running.
Thanks for tuning in. For more information, head to www.runningpodcast.us. And as always, have a great week of running.